President Truman's address at the President's Committee on Employment of the Physically Handicapped, September 4th, 1952.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Secretary of Labor, Admiral McIntyre, distinguished guests and members of this committee that has done such great work for the physically handicapped. I'm very glad to be here today. It's always good to meet with you and share in your great work for the handicapped. This is the kind of work that gets close to the real needs of the people. You know, I've always believed that service to the people is the best measure of government. This republic can endure and grow stronger year by year only as it answers the needs and fulfills the hopes of the citizens. That has been the American tradition throughout history, and that was the idea which prompted the setting up of this committee 5 years ago. We recognized then that there were a lot of physically handicapped people in the nation who weren't able to work or get a chance at jobs that they could do. So we started in to lay the groundwork for bringing millions of these people back into productive and useful citizenship. Since this committee was formed, a great deal has been accomplished. For the success we have achieved thus far, a large part of the credit must go to our chairman, Admiral McIntyre, and to the hard work of the executive committee, the splendid cooperation of the states and communities throughout the whole land. In planning this year's observance of Employ the Physically Handicapped Week, Admiral McIntyre and I decided that the doctors of our country could be brought closer into the whole rehabilitation and employment picture. At the suggestion of your executive committee, we decided to bestow a physician's award annually to the doctor who had made the greatest contribution to the welfare and employment of the physically handicapped. I am happy to announce that the first winner is Dr. Henry H. Kessler of Newark, New Jersey. I want to congratulate Dr. Kessler. For the wonderful work he has been doing. He's done a wonderful job. Right here, I think I'd like to tell you a little story about the physically handicapped. 1943, I think it was, I was making an inspection of Mare Island Navy Yard in the capacity of chairman of a certain committee in the Senate of the United States. Sometimes they didn't like to see me come. I ran into a doctor at Mare Island, a naval captain, who was all wrapped up in this idea of rehabilitating those men who had lost arms and legs and eyesight and fixing them so they could be useful citizens once more. I went on over to Brigham, Utah, and I found a colonel in the army there who was doing the same thing. I never saw two as enthusiastic men in my life as that naval captain and that army colonel. I got them together, and this grew out of it. Last year, I had the pleasure of announcing another award for the first time. I presented the President's Trophy to George Barr of Chicago. This year, I have a similar pleasure. And this time, the young man is also from Chicago. His name is Nils S. Josephson, President of the Paraplegic Manufacturing Company. Mr. Josephson's contribution in providing jobs for the handicapped has been outstanding. His firm has provided a place of employment at Franklin Park, Illinois, for several dozen paraplegics. Recently, they branched out and hired people with other disabilities. Business has been so good, they have even had to hire some non-handicapped workers. Now, that's fairness, I'd say. You see, they're doing as they would like to be done by. This is a remarkable story. Mr. Josephson was crippled for life when he was struck by an airplane wing tank aboard a carrier in the Pacific. But this did not damage his spirit or impair his talents as a radio technician. Together with other graduates of Heinz Veterans Hospital, he formed his company in February of 1951. There were 50 wheelchair workers who pooled their resources. They began doing work on small electronic parts, principally for radio and television sets. The going was tough. Orders were few, but the men persevered, and today this enterprise is a real success. Today, the majority of the workers at the Paraplegics Manufacturing Company are stockholders in the firm and face the future with confidence and hope. In just a few minutes, I'm going to take a great deal of pleasure in giving Mr. Josephson the trophy, which he has so well earned. But before I do that, I want to talk with you a little while about where we have come in the work we're doing here in this committee and what lies ahead for us. I think that all of us can take some pride in what has been accomplished in these past few years. Everywhere, all over the nation, we're meeting people and reading about people who have conquered heavy handicaps. A few years ago, many of these people were considered hopeless cases, but today, medical science and rehabilitation services have brought us to the point where the word hopeless must almost be abandoned. We used to think that people who were blind had nothing to look forward to but years of custodial care at private or public expense. Now the blind are being taught to perform many jobs just as ably as people who can see. Moreover, we have so extended our range of rehabilitation that today we are making progress toward overcoming other forms of disability, such as cerebral palsy, where it had been thought absolutely nothing could be done. In special schools and training centers throughout the nation, a lot of amazing results are being achieved. Experts and skilled teachers are providing that by patient, painstaking effort with modern methods, we can start the most severely handicapped child on a way of life that will enable him to play his part in society like a normal human being. In the years since World War II, we've seen some wonderful services provided for our disabled war veterans. This has been one of the greatest accomplishments of all. At the same time, we have seen a substantial growth of vocational rehabilitation programs for civilians. We have broken down barriers against employment of disabled persons in the federal service and in private enterprise. These are real and solid gains. Look, for example, at the record of our Veterans Rehabilitation Program. Some 600,000 disabled veterans of World War II have taken training since the war, and most of them have found useful work to do. The program for disabled veterans of the Korean conflict is now getting underway, and I have no doubt it will be equally successful. On the civilian side, just in the last year, some 66,000 Americans were rehabilitated and restored to jobs through our federal state programs and the work of voluntary agencies. Now, what kind of jobs are these handicapped people doing? They're doing everything, and they're doing it well. We surely have proved by now that no job that can't be handled by some handicapped worker. That used to be a theory. Now we know it's a fact. The Veterans Administration has recently published a report showing that 40% of the disabled ex-servicemen were trained for professional and top management jobs. Another 34% were trained for skilled trades. I'm sure that many of them are now at work in defense industries, working for the welfare of America just as they fought for it a few short years ago. Another 15% were trained in agriculture, and one out of every 10 went into clerical and sales jobs. I was just now made a salesman for the organization of this young man over here to whom I'm going to present this trophy. Hand me a card, and I'll go out and do this.